and we'll go ahead and kick this off. And I it's a real pleasure today because I've known Richard as far as for a little while now since I've been involved with Republic Magazine, and always what has struck me is his commitment, his passion towards that which he works towards. And I began to hear a little bit about the Republic of Texas and some of the other folks involved and what was going on with it. But the real emphasis is more on what is being worked on, what has been accomplished, what will be accomplished, what it all means, rather than the particular individuals involved. And I know that that was one of the key points that in conversing with Richard about this, that he mentioned that he wanted it to be more on that than on the people involved. But just so you'll know who the folks are, we've got Ed Branham, who is the Senator of District 5. We've got Steve Costa, Attorney General, and Richard Perkins. Is it the 14th session president?
That's correct.
And rather than me trying to, tell you who they are, or what they're involved in, or what they're doing, I just want to, go ahead and turn it over to whichever one of them wants to begin with it, and to tell us a little bit about the past, the present, and the future endeavors of the Republic of Texas. And maybe it would help us to understand, we hear the name Republic of Texas. What does that mean? I don't know if you want to go first, Richard, or who wants to take that.
I think I'll defer to our historian, Ed Branham. Would you please take that?
Hello, Earl. How you doing today?
Good. Welcome to the webinar.
Okay.
Glad to have you.
Richard's kind of picking on me because I've been here in the Republic and pushing it along since 1995. I guess I'm one of the few left that was originally got this thing started. Just to bring you up to date kind of where we are, we started in 1995. And for about 10 years, we tried all kinds of different things. We broke up different organizations. We did all kinds of stuff. And we were actually ended up, we finally figured out we were going down a bunch of rabbit trails that wasn't getting us anywhere. So about that time, in 2005, we got a hold of some documents from microfilm. Microfish out of A&M College, and those documents showed us that in 1845, the Republic of Texas, in February that year, actually closed the Congress session, and all of a sudden, the president at that time called for a convention in July and actually started a convention of delegates, which only 13 of them was from Texas, 43 of them were from United States, and which was fraud. And he was doing all this without Congress being in session, which was all unlawful. So we always have our elections by our Constitution in first Monday of September, which to you folks is be Labor Day. And even though this delegates or this convention drew up a state of Texas constitution and everything, they signed off on it in August. They went ahead and had a Republic of Texas election as per the 1836 constitution in the first Monday of September. But we found out that Congress, after it was elected, never convened for business. Therefore, at the end of the year, a little after in February, March of 1846, it actually formed and started the state of Texas. And it did all this without any approval from any congressional factor for the Republic of Texas. Therefore, we actually have the proof that everything was done was probed. And there is no time limit from fraud, from what we can find. Therefore, what happened, the Republic of Texas was actually put in abeyance or set aside on the sidelines. And the propaganda started at that point that the Republic of Texas was no more. But actually, it was sitting there. It just is. The Congress that was elected just never convened for business. Therefore, we had the information we needed, and we actually had, from the microfilm, the exact names and the districts and the counties of every representative and senator that was elected in that 1846-45 election. Therefore, we set up with the people's, the delegates convention was called here, and they agreed to go by the 1836 Constitution, which is the only certified constitution in Texas. And we therefore had an election per that constitution and replaced that Congress that was in 1845. We replaced them with senators, representatives, and presidents all the way down. And that was, we started having our congressional sessions in that next week of 2005. And in December of that year, we verified all of the votes and everything, put the president and vice president in place, and we have been holding congressional sessions ever since. At that time, it was called the 10th Congress, because that's the one that was put in abeyance in 1845. So we just picked up from where it was set aside and continued on, and we started claiming the land and the people, I mean, the land and the properties and everything back for the people. We've done quite a bit of legislation through these past years. We are working in the 14th Congress now. And we've done several things like initiate and notify. President Bush, we notified him that this was a Republic of Texas, and that he did not have any claims to it, nor the United States, nor the United States of America, and that we were reclaiming the treaty that was done between the Republic of Texas and the United States of America in 1838, which was a treaty of limits, which outlines the borders of Texas between the Republic of Texas and the United States. That treaty is still in effect, never has been voided. In fact, it cannot be voided because all the ones that signed it aren't here anymore. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, all the treaties that were done in the Republic, which we have treaties with England, France, the Netherlands, 20 different Indian tribes, and you see there's one or two more others. We got 7 foreign nation treaties, and none of those treaties have ever been voided or made null and void by anything, you know. And of course, naturally, they're still in effect, actually. Mainly what we're doing now is our Attorney General is working diligently on trying to get recognition here and there in different places. If he wants to, he can talk about that. And Richard, our president, is doing a fantastic job, and we're proud to have him on board. Since I've been here the longest, I've been through about 7 or 8 presidents, so-called, in the past. But since we actually got on this, we think we're on the correct route right now, or road to making this thing successful, because we are fully constitutional and operating under international law, and also making sure that we're staying under God's law. We are fully common law. We have counties starting to set up our own counties with our own courts, and we have one of those that's moving along real well, been going for about a year. So, Richard, if you want to pick up from there, you'd be okay with me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ed. That was an excellent presentation, as usual. And I'm also thankful for you and Steve, and just to be on the team is a great honor. We have short-term and long-term goals. Our ultimate goal is that we're going to pursue God's righteousness everywhere we possibly can. When they took God out of the school, they should have taken the kids out of the school, too, because you can't find God's righteousness in where God isn't. It's the same thing with our courts today. And I'll let Steve talk about that later if he wants to talk about that. But as far as the short term, we're trying to establish constitutional counties. And if I could, Earl, I'd like to take a few minutes to give you the background as far as for establishing constitutional counties as per our 1836 Constitution.
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay, this is the 1836 Constitution, Republic of Texas, Article 4, the Judicial Branch, Section 10. There shall be in each county a county court, and such justices' courts as the Congress may from time to time establish. Section 3, the Republic shall be divided into convenient counties, but no new county shall be established unless it be done on the petition of 100 free male inhabitants of the territory sought to be laid off and established, and unless the said territory shall contain 900 square miles. Amendment 1. Every living soul having declared a domicile on the lands of Texas shall be a Texian citizen, sovereign, possessing all rights and responsibilities as described and sealed forever in the People's Declaration of Rights. Now, under the Declaration of Rights, which is also in the 1836 Constitution, states, this Declaration of Rights is declared to be a part of this Constitution and shall never be violated on any pretense whatever. And in order to guard against the transgression of the high powers that we have delegated, we declare that everything in this bill of rights contained and every other right not hereby delegated is reserved to the people. First, all men, when they form a social compact, have equal rights, and no man or set of men are entitled to exclusive public privileges or emoluments from the community. Second, all political power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their benefit. And I might preface stating that we're the servants of the people and the servants of God, and the people are our boss, and we understand that. And they have at all times, continuing from the Constitution, they have at all times an inalienable right to alter their government in such manner as they may think proper. Third, no preferences shall be given by law to any religious denomination or mode or worship over another, but every person shall be permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Fourth, every citizen shall be at liberty to speak, write, or publish his opinions on any subject, being responsible for the abuse of that privilege. No law shall ever be passed to curtail the liberty of speech or of the press, and in all prosecutions for libels, the truth may be given in evidence, and the jury shall have the right to determine the law and fact under the direction of the court. Fifth, the people shall be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and possessions from all unreasonable searches and seizures, and no warrant shall issue to search any place or seize any person or thing without describing the place to be searched or the person or the thing to be seized, without probable cause supported by oath or affirmation. Six, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have the right of being heard by himself or counsel or both. He shall have the right to demand the nature and cause of the accusation, shall be confronted with the witnesses against him, and have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor. And in all prosecutions by presentment or indictment, he shall have the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. He shall not be compelled to give evidence against himself or be deprived of life, liberty, or property, but by due course of law. And no free man shall be holden to answer for any criminal charge but on presentment or indictment by a grand jury, except in the land and naval forces or in militia, or in actual service in time of war or public danger, or in cases of impeachment. Seven, no citizen shall be deprived of privileges, outlawed, exiled, or any manner disfranchised, except by due course of law of the land. Nine, no person for the same offense shall be twice but in jeopardy of life or limbs, and the right of trial by jury shall remain inviolate. 11, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, or cruel or unusual punishments inflicted. All courts shall be open, and every man for any injury done him in his lands, goods, person, or reputation shall have remedy by due course of law. If there be no tribunal to appeal to, there can be no, quote, due course at law, end quote. Due course of law versus due process of law. The county is the backbone of the nation. It is where the people raise their family, have their home, church, playgrounds, schools, hospitals, and community events. All these, including the people's voice, are exercised by their right to vote, yet all these liberties are now controlled by perpetuities and monopolies, which operate, quote, imperium in imperior, a power behind the throne. And finally, the return of power of the county to the people of the county is ultimately our short-term goal. And it goes under the principle of jus libertatis, the right of liberty. And the right of liberty states, this among the Romans comprehended freedom not only from the power of the masters, but also from the dominion of tyrants. The severity of the magistrates, the cruelty of creditors, and the insolence of the more powerful citizens. Roman citizens were secured against the tyrannical treatment of magistrates, first by the right of appealing from them to the people, and second, that person so appealing should in no manner be punished till the people decided the matter, but chiefly by the assistance of the tribunes. None but the whole Roman people in the comitia centuriata could pass sentence on the life of the Roman citizen, and no magistrate was allowed to punish him by stripes or capitali. The single expression, quote, I am a Roman citizen, end quote, checked their severest decrees and stayed the lictor's hand. And our target, quote, I am a Texian. And that was written by Ray Cannon, that last part of it, attached to the foundation document, which I gave you from the Article 4 in the Constitution. Now, that's our short-term goal. Our long-term goal is going to be very familiar to you because it was came from the precedents of the original organic Constitution. And it states, we the people of Texas, in order to form a government, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense and general welfare, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. And I submit to you that those principles that are the foundation for the Constitution, both the 1836 and the original one, are the same principles that should not only be applied to the county, they should be applied in the home, and they should be applied in the schools.
Okay, that's very good. One of the things that came up in the form of a question is that, as we all know, with what the federal, state, county, and local governments have set up under the current structure, they have, whether it's military troops, police, sheriff's departments, whatever enforcement divisions, different agencies, they have so much firepower. They have people convinced that things are the way they are. So it's on one hand, you would think you could notice them a fraud and want to enforce things to be done correctly, but that's kind of physically impossible to do. Is there any type of legal activity that you have researched or considered, or is there anything that can be done in a legal respect? I guess not, because you're not recognizing their authority over you. So, yeah, I guess that's the answer, right?
Steve, you want to take that?
What's that?
I was asking Steve if he wanted to take that question.
Well, he basically answered the question. They do not have authority over you, and when you understand that, all their codes, rules, and regulations do not apply unless you contract with them. They're very deceiving in the way they get you to agree to what they have put in place, and it's done through voluntary contracts. So you have to get out of those contracts to eliminate the situations that are forthcoming in a day-to-day basis.
You want to mention our grand jury and our county court?
Well, that's a different situation. We have the courts set up, and if your right to life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness is infringed upon, then we can take it to our courts. But what he was saying is absolutely correct. They carry all the guns.
That's
and
true.
They do it through force and intimidation. And until the people wake up and want to fight for what has been taken from them, they're going to have to stand up and start doing something. Otherwise, it's going to be too late, and it's pretty close to that point now.
Yeah, I think that, in seeing that not only that, but they pretty much have a cozy relationship with the media, so the media is pretty much in their pocket. I think on the grassroots level, the word is spreading, and certainly through alternative media, the different, publications and radio stations, whatever alternative media is out there that will take up information like this and put it out. And I think over time, more and more of that can happen. The question is, can it happen fast enough? And if it doesn't, then what? Because most people are brainwashed. They don't have any understanding. In fact, if they even begin to hear something about a Republic of Texas is a bunch of whack jobs as far as they're concerned, tinfoil hat people, that sort of thing, radical whatever. And it's unfortunate that it's that way. But a lot of the patriots are beginning to wake up to it, and the word's getting out. I'm just wondering what you see ahead. Do you think it's finally going to come down to some type of confrontation overall, or what do you think?
Well, we're trying to avoid confrontation. We're not trying to take away anything from them. All we want to do is gain what's respectfully ours for the people. We are getting some remedy. We're working on some documentation that has proved to be successful in getting people remedy, and that's where it's got to start. You know, we start small and then just keep working our way up to where we can get remedy for all the people.
Okay.
I'd like to say something. This is Brown again.
Okay.
There's a lot of information or misinformation, you might say, that think, in fact, the higher-ups in the de facto state of Texas put this out to all their employees that we're trying to take over their jobs and all that. That is very untrue. We have chartered, which we have a right to under the Constitution, we have chartered the state of Texas, which is a corporation, just like all the other states are corporations. We have proof from Dun & Bradstreet that all the courts in Texas have been corporation courts of profit since 1845. And that's on record, and we've found it in county records. But what we've done, we have now chartered the state of Texas, and they are in default as of a couple of weeks ago, I believe. And we, in that charter, we claimed all assets of the land and everything that the state of Texas has. We claimed it for the Texian people. And we're not trying to do away with them. We're chartering them as a corporation and allowing them to do business as a corporation should. Only all we are trying to do is tell them to leave us alone, and we will continue to monitor their business as we go along. And as far as all the employees and everything, they'll still be in the same position. There may be some higher-level, like the bar association, we might not come in anymore. You know, some of those attorneys that did most of our people wrong for years. So there will be some things, you know, we won't cut out. But we're not going to actually stop all of the business. We would be crazy for trying to stop all of the commercial business in Texas, since they're about the seventh largest business in the world, commercial wise. We have more products coming into Texas than, by ship than any other port in any of the other states. And we're not going to do away with that.
Okay.
Earl?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Earl, let me make a comment if I could, please.
Sure.
In my opinion, and many historians in the past, all problems related to a nation faltering and moving I feel, in my opinion right now, we're in apostasy, okay? And that has to change before things start turning around, and I see change in that direction. And by that, I mean that, you know, like Thomas Jefferson said, he said, duty is ours, but results are God's. And what we've got to do is we've got to get back to focusing on God emphasis instead of people emphasis and detail and materialism emphasis. And that's what people do when they lack faith. They find their confidence and find their pseudo insecurity in the details of life. And they find out also that when they're threatened, or when circumstances change, not for the good, and they rely on these details of life, they collapse every time. It's a false crutch, because the only thing that's going to stand up is faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we've already started to recognize that in the Republic. We have one God that we recognize, the God of the Bible. We have one flag, and we're one nation under that, under God. And what we've done is, in the past, the Romans had to go through the same thing in their courts. The people weren't getting any justice. So what did people do? Well, rather than continue to go where they couldn't get any remedy, because there was no remedy there, just like in our courts today, if you challenge them to bring a remedy forth, you'll see that there is no remedy for the people. They went where they could get remedy and where they could pursue God's righteousness. They went and set up their people's courts, a grand jury, like Steve said, we have today. We have a grand jury made of the people. So now we're pursuing God's rights according to the dictates of the Bible and the Ten Commandments, which is the foundation for the perpetuation and continuation of the human race. And we wouldn't have that without these commandments and the other commandments. And if we love him, we're going to obey him and follow these commandments. And so once we go to these grand juries, God's going to honor that. Because now we're not a religious, we're not in a court where there's a religious pagan ceremony going on and honoring the ruler of this world's terms and dictates, but we're pursuing where God wants us to be, where we can have the freedom to exercise our rights the way he wants us to exercise our rights. And then we need to get the kids back to homeschooling where the parents can teach them what the parents taught in the past about the Bible and about the principles of the Bible and about all the different subjects that come from the Bible. And then from there, Earl, the real foundation is back to the shepherds or the pastors. The pastors today, for the most part, are not getting the truth out. And you said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But what happens if the pastors aren't giving out the truth? Then you're not going to be free. You're going to be a slave to your circumstances of life, and that's what's happening today. So the ultimate solution, in my humble opinion, is we need to get back the parents, the businesses, everybody needs to get back and start operating on biblical principles that were established a long time ago under the laws of divine establishment set up in the Word of God. And the pastors need to start putting out the truth, not political correctness, but biblical correctness. And then you're going to start seeing things turn around because, you know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it talks of my people will humble themselves and pray. And basically the whole thing of that, then things will turn around and confess your sins, and he in heaven will hear and he'll restore the land. But guess what? People today are so arrogant, they don't even think about prayer. They're focused on who and what they are rather than who what God is. Until they do, we're going to receive judgment. And the judgment is not coming in terms of something to hurt us. It's coming in terms of a blessing to get us to wake up to what's really, really important in life. And if we do wake up and catch on to what's really important in life and start getting our priorities straight, you watch things turn around. And I'm thankful to say that I'm seeing the signs more and more of a salt of the earth coming back where people are getting their priorities straight and make decisions based on divine viewpoint rather than human viewpoint.
Very good. Well said. I did want to just remind everybody that we're speaking with Richard Perkins and Steve Costa and Ed Branham from the Republic of Texas. And it's an interesting discussion, and it certainly portends a lot ahead. I did want to mention that there was a little bit of a mechanical glitch in the web internet part of this webinar, and that is fixed now, so that you can access this as well through republicmagazine.com/webinar. A number of people have, but right initially when the webinar started, you couldn't. We have had a little bit of, just of late, we've had a little bit of what I call echoing or feedback. It's almost like a delayed conversation that trails behind the current conversation. Normally that will happen if someone is online and on the phone line at the same time that is on the host line. So if any of you that are on the host line Also are tuned online, you may want to make sure you have that sound turned all the way down. Otherwise, it's going to echo in on the line. So I just in case, I wanted to mention that. You know, I'm not sure exactly where you'd most like to take this from here, but, you know, I'm just wondering what you see ahead. If you look ahead in short term and long term, what do you see for the Republic of Texas? And who wants to take that?
Well, I'm always optimistic. What I see for the Republic of Texas is great challenges ahead, but is if we keep our priorities straight and recognize in humility that we're nothing apart from His grace and apart from His provision and providence, then we're going to move ahead, and we're going to move ahead at the speed of instruction from our Lord above. Ed, you want to comment on what you see ahead?
From what I see happening around the United States, the corporation United States, to me, it's imploding upon itself. And what we're wanting to do is prepare the Texian people in the Republican Texas mainly for survival, because if the United States implodes, the FRN falls, and you're going to have some foreign countries that they owe all this trillions of dollars to are going to want to start taking over some things, and we do not want them in Texas. And therefore, it could be serious. But again, Richard is right. We will have God on our side. And whatever it takes, that's what we'll do. I've told several people in the news media before, there's over 6 million well-armed rednecks in Texas. And if I was them, I'd start someplace else.
Not the best place for them. I'm wondering, the question that definitely comes up is that this makes me suspicion that there are other states who have the same exact situation, that it was not done in an appropriate moral, legal, or whatever way you want to describe it, that the same type of thing through chicanery, fraud, whatever, that people were led to believe that their so-called state was annexed and made part of the United States, the corporate United States. In your understanding, is that probably the case, or has anyone looked into the other states and gone, oh my gosh, here's the same thing happening here?
Go ahead, Ed.
California was a republic. In fact, California's flag that flies in California is still the Republic flag that was generated back, I believe it was 1847. They could easily do the same thing that we're doing. They would just have to dig up the records. And, of course, they took Hawaii the same way they took Texas, and they used Texas as the example on a resolution done by Congress, which was resolution is fraud from the beginning, because the only way you can take another country is by treaty. There was never a treaty of annexation for Texas. There never was one for Hawaii. There was also a nation of Florida West, or West Florida, which actually didn't last for a couple of months, but it was in place. And they could easily possibly do what we were doing. But in my personal opinion, all the so-called southern states or original 13 states, any of them, all they have to do to me is reclaim it. Tell them this is ours. From what I've seen, there's plenty of so-called United States laws that the states are actually individual states, but they got to have the people stand up and reclaim them and become their Republican. They're all republics, just like, but they're bypassing all the constitutions. The Republic of the United States of America, Republic, is still in place, but they have the corporations in place and put the Republic aside. Everything's been placed aside to make room for the corporations, and that's what's controlling the people. And the people are just going to have to wake up and find out. They got to figure out who they are. They're not some fictional corporate slave. They're living souls. And that's what they got to do is stand up and say so. That's my opinion now.
Okay. Well, I want to, at this point, there's an area I want to move in, but before I do that, I want to invite everyone listening either on the phone line or online to join in the conversation with us. Let's, you know, certainly it's exciting to have some dialogue and to find out what questions you may have, what you may add to the conversation. And to do that, if you're on the conference bridge line, just dial *2 on your phone keypad, and we'll be able to unmute your line and let you speak with our guests. If you're on the internet, what you would do is you would just type into the question box there on the same page. Maybe just put your first name, city, and state, and that way we'll know who and from where, and we'll bring you into the conversation. One of the things that I wondered is that since the Republic of Texas is a sovereign nation unto itself, what kind of, have you ever had any acknowledgement from any, whether it's city, state, county, federal, any type of recognition back or acknowledgement or even deference towards your claims, anything come back your way? And if so, what kind of, any type of letter, document, email, conversation, phone call, anything at all?
To start with, in 1994, the Supreme Court of the state of Texas ruled that they had no authority over a sovereign nation, the Republic of Texas. That document was returned to us. We have a record of that if anybody wants it. And also the United Nations, the Hague of the Netherlands, documents were sent to them requesting recognition of the Republic of Texas. The Hague of the Netherlands is also a corporation, and they can only rule on corporations between countries that are having disagreements. Being a corporation, they could only rule on corporations. Therefore, all the documents that were sent to them was returned. And they did give us the case number, but they returned it because they can't rule on a sovereign nation. And this is what people don't realize who they are. You go into these courts, and the only way that these courts can rule or do anything with you is if you contract with them. They cannot adjudicate a living person or living mankind or womankind because they're corporate figureheads. They're all registered on Dun & Bradstreet. So is the United States and the United States Army registered in Dun & Bradstreet in England, which tells you right there England still owns the United States.
Interesting. Okay. So that's pretty much the extent of any type of interaction that has occurred in any form. Typically, you're ignored by whether it's the president or a governor or any other type of official. They pretty much ignore you because they stay within their arena of their corporatocracy, their corporate government, U.S. government, that they are choosing to operate under, to volunteer themselves for. Is that
correct? Well, when I was one of them that personally hand-delivered the charter to the state of Texas Secretary of State, which, of course, they wouldn't allow him to come out and meet with us, but they did sign off on that charter as received. And I had three witnesses, I believe it was, with me. And they have signed, you know, we did the rest of it with registered mail and with signatures and everything. And we have all that documentation is signed off. By the way, the Secretary of State resigned 2 weeks after we served that paper. They had to choose another one. To me, when we got people that go into courts and things, one of the first questions they ask, are you a Republic of Texas citizen? Are you with the Republic of Texas? Why would they ask that if they don't recognize that?
Of course.
That's my question.
Absolutely. Yes, we do have people from all over the country that are on the webinar. I can only see, I don't know from all the ones that are online, I don't know where they're from, and some of the people that are even on the phone line, I can't tell what area they're in. But the ones that I can see, we have people from as far as in Texas, Katie, Colleen, Liberty, Grand Prairie, Houston, Carthage, and I'm sure there are other areas of Texas as well. But whether someone is in Texas or even from other parts of the country, what are there things that they can do to lend support or to help in some way with the efforts that you're about, that the things that you're doing now?
Well, yeah, Richard.
Well, they could go to our – I appreciate you saying that, Earl.
Sure.
They can go to our website at www.texasrepublic.info, and they can get the latest notice that we have up there, and it's related to the fact that do we need to secede, and it answers a question based on the latest notice that we sent out, and the notice, which was also sent out to a couple papers I'll just give you the first paragraph. It says the Republic of Texas Congress elected by the Texian people has demanded that the corporatist USA and its corporatist political subdivisions, the state of Texas, all capitals, the state of New Mexico, all capitals, the state of Colorado, all capitals, the state of Wyoming, all capitals, the state of Kansas, all capitals, and the state of Oklahoma, all capitals, including all the individual or otherwise entities doing business within a geographical jurisdictional lands of the Republic of Texas without proper charter shall immediately cease and desist their attempts to continue exercising foreign relation acts and using color of law on the land and territory of the Texas Republic. And then there's a link to where this notice is spelled out where people can read it if they choose to. Also, what people can do if they like to, we have a place where they, if they want to help us financially, they can do that. There's a place on there that they can bring in the downloads where the information's there if that's what they'd like to do to help us in the restoration of our republic. And we're trying to build a seat of government right now. And there's also, you know, we're needing equipment for different things. And we're also needing people. We need God-fearing people understand that we're under one God, the God of the Bible, which has many different names, one nation and one flag, and we welcome anybody that would like to come in. We have 20-something, I think we have 21 representatives right now. We could use another 20. And we have other positions open in the county. Like we said before, we're trying to get the county government positions open. And if any of that's of interest to you, you can go to the correspondent for the executive office and indicate your interest, and then we'll get back to you and tell you how to proceed and what's available, and just give you answer any general questions that you might have.
Great. Well, you know, there's something you mentioned, things being in all caps, and correct me if this is not the right understanding, but my understanding of things in all caps, it stands for either a corporate entity or a deceased person. Is that not the correct understanding?
Steve, you want to handle that? Question?
Yes, I can. When they address you in the all capital letter name, it's a fiction they devised because they cannot deal with a living soul. So the only way that they can deal with you is for you to voluntarily agree to be surety for that fiction. And that's part of the voluntary contracts that they get everybody into. That is correct.
Okay. Well,
all your gravestones are in capital letters, you'll notice.
Yeah, it just sounds like...
Ed, could you turn your volume down, please? We're getting an echo.
I don't have any volume.
Oh, okay.
So a fiction is not a live soul, it's dead. And what Ed was saying is true, that the corporate fiction name is actually dead until you supply the surety to act for it. That's what the game is all about.
Okay. Well, it just seems like there's just so much fraud upon fraud upon fraud upon fraud. It's too mind-boggling for people to wrap their mind around, in most cases. Although I think we're seeing the people become ripe for understanding, and they are beginning to wake up, and that's the encouraging part of this. We do have someone that is in Huntsville, Alabama, that has a question, and it's Tony Spear. I've just unmuted your line. Are you there, Tony? Tony, do you have a question for our guest?
Hello? Yes, Tony. I do. In order to be successful in this Republic of Texas or governance, will you not have to have a monetary base in order to make it viable? In other words, won't you have to create your own money as well as other things?
We're in the process of doing that.
Well, that's wonderful, because I think that's the problem in our whole United States, is the fact that the money boys is running the country.
You're exactly right.
You may not have to wait very long, because that money that they're using may not be around anymore.
Well, let's hope it gets straightened out. I'm for you 100%.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony, for your call.
Appreciate that. Okay. And, that I'm sure that can raise all kinds of questions in regards to, what will happen with our monetary situation. Many have speculated that the corporate United States is looking to actually merge with other nations and become a larger global entity eventually, to move into that world entity, and then to have a world currency, or in fact eventually a microchipped population with all buying and selling through that system. Certainly we hope it doesn't go that way, and yet there's a lot of indications that they're pushing that way as fast as they think they can reasonably go, and then some. But I think that there's an Achilles heel, and I think that they may fail and fall in their trials to do that. And that's where the work of so many patriots for so many years is going to come to the good. And hopefully our alternatives will be there as a net to catch everything and move us back into liberty and individualism instead of where we've been headed for so long. Collectivism and evil and distortion and fraud and all of that. Anyway, I would say that perhaps if you would give out whatever contact information. I don't know if there's a phone number, if there's certain email addresses, if there's other websites or anything that you want people to Google to find other information. Certainly this would be a good time to give that information out.
Go ahead, Ed.
Since you've already gave our website, to give out phone numbers, and you can go to our website, and it has email addresses to all our representatives, all our senators, all our district judges. And you're talking about two or three pages of email stuff that you can contact any of us. I'll give you my email right now that you can contact me straight on, and that's TREP, short for Texas Republic, TREP777@DC, like Washington, D.C., Texas, TEXAS.net.
Okay.
D.C., okay.
And the reason I was had mentioned the potential, if there is a phone number that's permissible to be given out, is if someone's not either not on the internet or not that proficient with it,
yeah,
and would prefer to be able to call and talk to someone, if there's a number that's safe to give out.
There's an 800 number on our website. There's 800 number on our website. Call it and ask for whoever they want to talk to, and then leave their number and we'll call them back.
Okay, if they can't get to the internet, do you remember what that number is that you can give it to them? They might write it down there as they're listening so they can call it.
I have it.
Okay.
It's 1-888-605-4528.
Great. Okay. And I would just say this. We might at this point be thinking about if there is a final comment or something that you thought you would have mentioned and did in the course of this webinar, and I'll come to that in just a minute. What I want to do is just mention a couple of things right now. As I'd said before, we have these webinars every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and next week we also have a very powerful lineup. We have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She's going to speak out about the incredible fraud around vaccinations, what they're really trying to do, what's behind it, who's behind it, their sinister agenda is, and how they're trying to pull it off. We're going to have on Wednesday Big John Lipscomb with Lipscomb Enterprises. He's going to talk about surviving, prepared for the things that are coming, and how to do that. He's very proficient with that. And then we're going to have on Thursday Igor Malinsky on from Topscore Enterprises about how to make 2010 a really good year as far as any issues you have with your standing financially or with your credit history or anything of that nature. So, you know, stay tuned. Certainly check us out next week. We're going to have a powerful lineup. And I did want to say that look for this webinar to be posted shortly after the webinar ends today. If you missed any part of it, certainly you can go back and hear it in its entirety. You can download it and share it with others, and we encourage you to do so, as well as to check out all of the other incredible webinars that we have posted there. You'll find those at republicmagazine.com/webinar. And so you know, we certainly hope that we'll see everybody next Tuesday as we have our next webinar. And with that, I want to invite each one of you, Ed Branham, Steve Costa, and Richard Perkins, if you so choose, not that you have to, but if there's a final thought you'd like to share, then certainly in whatever order you choose, go ahead and share that with us now. Who wants to go first, Ed, you want, or Steve, or Richard?
I'll wrap it up. I would certainly encourage anyone from the de facto states that would like to get started claiming your republic. If I have any information you think I might could help you with, I'll be glad to send you anything I have to help you along. Get started or finish up or wherever you are in it. There are two or three Republic organizations right now that I have emails on. If anybody's out there that I don't know about, I'd sure like to hear from you. I have a lot of, about 6,000 documents for all different sorts of subjects that I might have something that could help you get further along. And thank you for inviting us on here.
Well, wait a minute. Steve, do you have any final comments?
Well, just one thing I'd like to say is that one thing everybody needs to realize is that we are all brought up in the same environment. We all went to the same schools. They started brainwashing us, you know, when we were in kindergarten. So some of the things that we're talking about doesn't make sense to some people because they were not taught the truth. You need to stand up and start questioning everything. And don't just sit back and take what they tell you as the truth, because it's not. What's black is white and what's white is black. Everything you've been taught is basically opposite of what is actually the truth. You know, Henry Ford said this back in the early 1900s, that if people understood the central banking system, they would revolt today, not tomorrow, today. And he said that back in the early 1900s. It goes to say the same today. The fraud that's been perpetuated upon the American people is just unbelievable. But people have got to start questioning what is being done and what's being done to them. Their rights are being taken away every day. Every single day you're losing your rights. And we need to stand up, and people need to realize this and not wait until it happens to them. They see it happening to their neighbor, and they're saying, oh, wow, gosh, you know, sorry to see that happen. But when it comes around and it happens to them, then it's going to be too late. So everybody needs to start looking at what's really going on. And, you know, the Republic is trying to address those issues. And we do have some remedies available for folks. Just contact us, and we'll be glad to help you any way we can.
All right. And
I'd like to make a final comment, if I could, please.
Sure. Absolutely.
I want to thank you so much for your program. I want to thank you for, in the time in which we live, for taking a stand for the truth and having the moral courage to put the truth out there. And I trust because you're doing that, that God's honoring that and your business is growing. I see that you have branched out in the last year, I think, into the webinar, and that's a good sign. And I encourage everybody on this call to support this, the Pro Republic magazine, any way you possibly can. If you can't do it financially, then do it with your prayers. And I know they covet your prayers just like the Republic of Texas covets your prayers. And I want to thank you, Earl, for the honor and the privilege of being on the show. And if any time that in the future there's something else that maybe you'd like us to come back and talk to you about, we'd be more than happy to. I want to let you know at this point in time we're setting up model county governments in terms of how somebody can come in, set one up, the duties and responsibilities of the officers involved in those county governments, and functions and how to take the county government, move to a grand jury and a county court, so that in the future, when people are looking for that particular way of doing it, they have a model, they have a prototype, and from that prototype they can go on an operational type in their particular area. Also, I want to thank you. Also, I would like to covet your prayers for the Republic of Texas, because once again, unless the Lord build a nation, we labor in vain that build it. And we know we're totally hopeless and helpless apart from his help. And we haven't gotten to this particular situation or anything that we've gotten that's been of any value, of any importance whatsoever, is because of his grace, not because we earned or deserved it. And I want to wish everybody else on this call a wonderful, healthy, and prosperous New Year's. And be confident about the future. Jesus Christ controls history. And that's the reason why you can have confidence. And thank you again for the time to be on the show.
Well, I thank you so much. And I really do, every bit of that, the passion, commitment, and follow through comes through in your words today and just the energy you bring to the webinar. And, certainly I would like for you to keep me personally informed of key turning points and developments, and certainly we'll have the door open to at a key point to come back and maybe give us an update, inform us of either a victory or some recent development that's happening, and informed on it. So, thank you very much, everybody. Have a really good New Year. And hope to see everybody on the webinar, the first one we have next Tuesday. So, Ed, Steve, and Richard, God bless you. Take care, and we will see you on the other side of the new year.
Thank you, Earl.
Good day. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.